Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Yves Barzelay of Klimsnide. Yves discusses his need for a solo record and tour, his blurring of fact and fiction, and details on the future Klimsnide release.
A lot of people are put off by Klimsnide because they're not sure if it's being sincere or not, you know, if it's like a joke or if it's serious. And I like that about it, but some people don't. But, you know, whatever, I don't need to buy them a Christmas present or anything.
Since the 2004 release of End of Love, Klimsnide frontman Yves Barzelay has been working on a full-length record, Bitter Honey, out now on Spin Art Records.
Put your hands upon it, but it only ever squirms. You're staring in the mirror and you're counting every germ. I'm not surprised she left you, and she found the nerve to tell. The thing you claim to love so much, you don't do very well. Sure, someone will love you till the day that they must die, and someone will mourn for you with bitter tear-stained eyes. Will this be enough for you?
Yves is now on a national tour supporting the record Bitter Honey, and will soon finalize the upcoming Klimsnide record.
When you began writing Bitter Honey, was the approach the same as when you were writing the Suburban Field recordings and the early Klimsnide recordings?
Well, I mean, yes, sort of. The Suburban Field recordings was like, those were like the first songs I'd ever written. You know, some of those songs are like over 10 years old. And Bitter Honey had a couple songs on there, like more towards the end of the record. I sort of brought back some older songs that, you know, that I just never really found a place for. Yes, for me, the record was like sort of tying up some loose ends. I mean, my approach is, it's always the same, you know. I mean, I just, as far as writing the song, it's about, as far as, like, how the song is sort of presented, like, how it's arranged, can go many different ways, but as far as just writing the song, it's always kind of the same.
And preparing for a solo tour and solo shows, how does that compare to full band tour, and is the pressure the same?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's a little harder, but in some ways, it's easier. It's hard to do, like when you do the full band, you know, four piece band kind of thing in like rock clubs, more often than not, like the sound isn't that good. And so you can't, for me, like I can't always hear my singing that well, you know. It's more about like the drums tend to be very loud and stuff. So it's nice to be able to like really sing, you know. It's like really hear my vocals, like, and nothing else is kind of a delicious little pleasure for me. But yeah, but at the same time, it's, you know, if you have a drummer, you can kind of rock out. I can't really rock out. I think I can, but not, you know, not all the way.
Klimsnide did an Inkspot cover for a compilation a few years back. Is that kind of music, the doo-wop, is that something that's really influenced you, and do you hear it on the records when you listen to records now?
I mean, I love that music. That's like, that's my favorite music, you know, like older music. I definitely gravitate more towards, I don't know. I'd like to think it's influenced me, but obviously, you know, it's, the music I write is still, it's still sort of indie rock sounding. Like I sort of tried, I don't think people really allow you to be, because everything's so postmodern these days, or postmodern, whatever, like you can't, you know, like you can't really do that kind of music anymore. You have to kind of, because it's already been done, but also because that was just a different period in history, and I think people's attitudes and emotions were like in a different place than they are now. So that's how I feel. I don't know. I mean, some people might disagree, but you know, like I can't, like you're sort of, you're always kind of burdened in a way by what's come before, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. I read in another interview that as for songwriting purposes, you don't distinguish between fact and fiction. Could you explain that?
Yeah, you know, I don't think a song kind of exists in its own kind of world. You know, that's what a song is. It's like its own little universe, and it has to be truthful, kind of to itself, but it doesn't have to be truthful in like the journalistic sense. You know, it's more. Although it obviously is informed by what's happened, like in reality, but whether, like, that doesn't make it a better song if I got all the facts straight, you know what I'm saying? It's not, so in that way, like, fact or fiction, it doesn't, they're both equal, you know, in a song.
Like, sincerity has no distinguishing, like...
Yeah, it's like, I'm not James Frey, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to get how many years in prison I was, like, accurate or yeah, you know, it's for me, it's like freedom, you know, it's like total freedom, like to just to be whoever I want or to say whatever I want. Like, that's the appeal for me, is that sense of like, yeah, just total freedom to just let the world of the song just kind of live, you know, it feels good.
Do you think you do that equally with Clem Snide versus the solo records?
Yeah, sure. I did the solo record because I just couldn't really afford to have a band. I mean, I go out on these long tours with the full band, and like I don't make any money, and I just can't afford to. You know, I need to like make money,
yeah,
like to live and stuff. You know, and I had a bad year last year. I had lost a lot of money because I fired my manager, and I'd like pay him off, and so I took a big hit. So I was like kind of desperate. So Bitter Honey was definitely informed by that, yeah, by that desperation. But I think artistically, whatever, it's valid. It's not like, I wouldn't have put it out if I didn't think it was good.
Yeah.
It was only on screen for a second, but it's kind of hard to miss. And all those other hoochie skanks, they ain't got shit on me. And one of Nelly's bodyguards, he totally agreed. Yada ba da ba 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 da ba ba ba. My mother cleaned the homes of wealthy people till the day she died, and so to California I did make my way. I tried to finish nursing school. I really wanted to.
I read that Soft Spot was a reaction to Ghost of Fashion, and I think you had said it was like yin and yang.
Mm.
That being said, what is End of Love?
Yeah, and synthesis, antithesis, and then, or no, thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. End of Love was like the two kind of coming together for me. I mean, it wasn't so high concept, but in a way, that's what I'd hoped that I had accomplished. Like, those three records, in a way, are like sort of a complete trilogy of. You know, the battle between selfishness and selflessness, which I think is kind of at the heart of everything, you know, as humanity does. Like, I mean, it's also like battle between good and evil, but that, you know, that sounds a little heavy-handed, but I think it's more like, yeah, for me it was being like selfish, like, are you going to just live for yourself, and are you going to be sort of vain, and are you going to become like God, you know, like, are you God to yourself, like. And then they sort of the flip side of that, whether you just completely do the opposite and be selfless and just completely give yourself over to other people.
And Soft Spot was the selfless?
Yeah, Soft Spot was my sort of meditating on that notion, you know. And also because I just gotten married and had a child at the time, so that, you know, that when you have a child, you're sort of, it just kind of happens a little, like, naturally.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're a complete fucking asshole, I would think, you know. When you have a kid, you just naturally become more selfless and vulnerable, so.
Yeah. When, just now, you said, you played Beautiful, and you said, post-irony?
How, yeah.
Was that just, could you...
Well, that's, I don't know, that's the thing about Klemstad, I feel, is a lot of people are put off by Klemstad because they're not sure if it's being sincere or not, you know, if it's like a joke or if it's serious. And I like that about it, but some people don't. But, you know, whatever, I don't need to buy them a Christmas present or anything. But, yeah, it's like, so that song works on a lot of different levels of irony. And I do it, I mean, I do it sincerely, you know, but the fact that it is a Christina Aguilera song, and there's so many associations with it, like, informs the process of hearing it as done by me. So, you know, that sort of complicates the process, and I like that. I like those complications. I think they're interesting. So it's like post-irony. Like, what does that even mean? I don't even know what that means, you know.
You played a new Klemstad song. How are you approaching the new record?
Well, we're pretty much almost done with the whole new Klemstad record that we started working on, but we ran into some problems, and we're trying different things, which is, like, I'm really taking my time with the next Klemstad record. Like, I really want to make it, like, the very, very best that it can be, because in the past, with a lot of the Klemstad records, like, we were, you know, we just kind of ran out of money, and we were sort of rushed, and so this time I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna take my time and wait till I know exactly what I want for, like, each song, and do everything I can, you know, even though I don't, you know, I'm still kind of working with limited resources, but just finding, like, the right situation to really get it the way that I think it needs to be. So it probably won't be done till the summer, and then it probably won't come out until next year. So I mean, that's largely why I put out the Bitter Honey record too, is because I needed to have, like, an excuse to tour this spring, so the Bitter Honey record is, like, sort of a little detour from the Klemstad record. But, yeah, it's gonna be really good. I played a couple songs, or I definitely played that one song from the new record.
And on the Bitter Honey, I wasn't really drunk.
Oh, fuck, I wanted to play that song. I forgot. Yeah.
Could you, I guess, just talk about that song?
Yeah, I don't know. That song just kind of came to me, you know. I don't know if there's any real interesting story behind it. You know, I just like that idea of that sort of relationship between the dude. And I like having a song that's about being, like, not being a good drinker. Because, like, all those country songs are all about, you know, these, like, alcoholics and shit. I like the idea of singing from the perspective of somebody, like really can't drink.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, Klemstad, can be found on their website, klemstad.com. Music samples in this show are from the 2006 record, Bitter Honey, available on Spin Art Records. More information about this release and other Yves Barzelay Klemstad releases, visit spinartrecords.com. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in its production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@indieinterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.